This is Campus Journal, program number 816 for Monday, June 14, 1993. 4, 3, 2, 1. So you like chocolate, huh? You say Snickers bars and Oreos are among your favorite foods. Well, believe me, you're not alone. Hi, this is Monday's entry in the Campus Journal, and we have some chocoholics in our office here. Now, no matter what it is, if it has chocolate in it or on it, they'll eat it. Now, all true chocoholics are familiar with the name Cadbury. You recognize it? Well, it's a British firm that makes some of the best chocolate in the world. But what chocolate lovers probably don't know is the story of Helen Cadbury. She's the daughter of the founder of Cadbury's Chocolates. You see, Helen received Christ as her Savior at age 12, and she was serious about her faith. She carried a large Bible to school, and she often read it. But because it was so heavy, her father gave her a New Testament that she could carry in her pocket instead. Well, when some of her Christian friends saw Helen, they wanted testaments of their own. And while they were in high school, they formed a group called themselves the Pocket Testament League. And then when they went to college, they began carrying extra testaments that they could give to people they met. A policeman was the first person to actually receive Christ after receiving one of these gifts. Well, today, the Pocket Testament League is international, has millions of members. Because of it, believers are strengthened. People come to Christ. Now, the chocolate factory that Helen's dad built brings enjoyment to millions, I'm sure, and probably a couple extra pounds, too. But the institution that grew out of Helen's desire to witness brings people to the one who satisfies the real hunger in all of us. So how about it? Can you get the Bible into the hands of someone who needs the Word of God? Maybe you could attach it to a bag of M&Ms or something. Well, that's Monday's entry in the Campus Journal. For a free copy of our monthly CJ booklet, simply call toll-free 1-800-653-7221. I'm Brian Hettinga, and let's feed the world with the bread of life. Hi, this is Tuesday's entry in the Campus Journal. And who am I talking about here? Can you guess? He's won 4 Grammy Awards. He's won the Country Music Association's Instrumentalist of the Year and Entertainer of the Year Awards. He was the youngest person ever inducted into the Grand Ole Opry. So who is this mystery man with a twang? Well, the answer is Ricky Skaggs. And even though all those awards I just mentioned are pretty impressive, Ricky Skaggs points to eternal riches as being the focal point of his life. He says, we're musician-aries of himself and his band. He says that he doesn't think God's really all that interested in country music, but he is interested in people. And he'll use whatever he has to reach them. And so Ricky's music is filled with positive values and themes that center on Jesus Christ. Now, even though he does remain a popular country entertainer, Skaggs' album sales have dropped every year since 1985. And the record execs and concert promoters have criticized him for promoting his beliefs and, as a result, losing sales. But his answer to all this, well, he's more concerned, he says, about obeying God than he is about winning respectability. And so truly, Ricky is a musician who's also a missionary, isn't he? A musician-ary. He's a living example of a Christian who, as Christ talked about in John 17, is not of the world, and yet has been sent into the world. You know, just as God has given Ricky Skaggs musical gifts, he's given each of us certain abilities and talents, and we should use those gifts to be a shining light in a dark world. Now, you may never win a Grammy, but more important, you just may lead someone to Christ. And the rewards for that last forever. And that is Tuesday's entry in the Campus Journal. If you'd be interested in getting a free copy of our monthly CJ booklet, call 1-800-653-7221. I'm Brian Hettinga, and I'll see you tomorrow. Hi, this is Wednesday's entry in the Campus Journal. And listen, there's no use hiding it anymore. Your cover's been blown. Your secret's out. You are a coward. That's right, a coward. C-O-W-A-R-D. I know, you don't always act that way. In fact, most of the time you seem pretty brave. But I know the real truth. See, I have spies on your campus. Still trying to deny it? Okay, I submit the following as evidence. You have a fear of striking up a conversation. The cotton in your mouth gives you away. You fear being rejected by others. Now, could this be why dating and other social settings make you feel so insecure? You have a fear of failure. You have a fear of sharing the gospel. Remember the opportunity you had recently to talk about Christ when you when he kept silent? Now, the real reason I know this is not because I have spies on campus, but because we've all experienced those kinds of fears. But remember this, experiencing fear is one thing, but giving in to fear is quite another. For God didn't give us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. That's 2 Timothy 1:7. You see, whoever said courage is fear, that's said its prayers, had it right. It's by God's strength that we are transformed from being overcome into being overcomers. So let's get it done. Whether it's our social life, our spiritual life, our educational pursuits, instead of letting our fears get to us, let's take our fears to God. Psalm 27, verse 14 says, "Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord, because He'll help you overcome your fears." And that encouragement is Wednesday's radio entry in the Campus Journal. We also have a printed monthly CJ booklet, and if you'd like one, or you know of a student-age person who might profit from it, just call toll-free 1-800-653-7221. I'm Brian Hedinga, and I'll see you tomorrow. Hi, this is Thursday's entry in the Campus Journal, and what do you think is the fastest way to learn something? By A, personal trial and error, or by B, learning from someone else's experience? Well, if you were an octopus, the answer would be B, from someone else's experience. At least that's what a couple of Italian scientists have discovered. Now, as reported in National Geographic, they found a species of octopus that learns by watching its friends. Now, apparently, these researchers ran out of important stuff to investigate, and so they used food rewards to train octopuses to attack either a red or a white ball. And then once the octopuses learned the task, others in an adjoining tank were allowed to watch. And the scientists discovered that the second group learned much faster than the first did. And you know, those octopi just may have something there. Learning from the experience of others instead of having to make all the mistakes ourselves, well, it sounds like a good idea. In other words, we don't have to flunk a test to know that it's not something we want to do. Just observe others who have. And I think a similar principle applies to our spiritual growth. We'll grow faster if we follow someone who's wiser and more spiritually mature. It's the example Christ set for how we should learn. He gathered a group of people around Him who watched Him and learned from His example. Now, of course, they didn't learn from His mistakes because He didn't make any. But they did learn from Him by observation. And so I think it'd be a good idea if, as you make your way through this summer, you look for godly believers who can help you grow and help you avoid some serious mistakes. Find someone whose example you can follow as he or she follows the example of Christ. Well, that's Thursday's entry in the Campus Journal. And if you'd like a free copy of our monthly CJ booklet, all you have to do is request one when you call 1-800-653-7221. I'm Brian Hedinga, and I'll see you tomorrow. Hi, this is Friday's entry in the Campus Journal. And what would it take to make you change your convictions? That's a question you have to answer every day, as your beliefs are challenged by the people you go to school with, or you work with, or you go out to the mall with. Whether it's your conviction not to drink alcohol or to honor your parents, it's going to be tested. Can you take the heat? Well, try to put yourself in this situation, okay? You're a major college athlete, and your team gets a visit from an all-star player that you've respected for a long time. And as you sit around after practice, one of your teammates tells him that you're still a virgin, that you plan to stay that way till you get married. Well, as a result, for the next 10 minutes, this superstar just humiliates you. And that leads your teammates to taunt you and to make you feel like, man, the weirdest person ever. Well, as it turned out, in this true situation, the player was strong enough to take the heat. His convictions, which were built in a good home and nurtured through his own personal Bible study, stood firm. But I'll tell you, getting pounded for your beliefs is no fun. And you might sometimes wonder if it's worth the trouble. I wonder how many times that feeling crossed the Apostle Paul's mind during all the times he was used as a whipping boy. But the New Testament shows that, well, Paul stood his ground too. And not only did he refuse to give in to his detractors, but he also refused to give in to the despair that sometimes comes from being persecuted. And all that happened because, like this athlete who spent time daily in the Word, he was being inwardly renewed day by day. You see, it's the inner power of Christ that helps us to defeat the outer attacks of the world. And that's Friday's entry in the Campus Journal. Thanks for listening. And if you'd like to receive our monthly CJ booklet, call 1-800-653-7221. I'm Brian Hedding. Have a good weekend, and I'll see you on Monday. Hi, this is Monday's entry in the Campus Journal. And recently, I heard about a government employee who had embezzled thousands of dollars from the government, and then he lost it all gambling. He was convicted of the crime, but in his appeal, he claimed that his gambling addiction was a handicap, and that falls under legal protection. That sound crazy? Well, of course it does. But you know what's even weirder is that the courts agreed with him, and they overturned his conviction. Unbelievable. This is just one of several examples from Charles Sykes' latest book called A Nation of Victims, in which he argues that the United States has decayed in large part because we've gone too far in trying to make right all of society's wrongs. The whole thing has degenerated to the point that virtually every person in the country can claim some kind of handicap that deserves government protection. As he says, we've become a nation of victims. My question is, whatever happened to individual responsibility? Because the Bible has a lot to say about individual responsibility. We're not helpless victims of Adam's bad choice who need to be accommodated by a sympathetic, benevolent God. No, we're sinners, and we need to be saved from the consequences of those sins by faith in Jesus Christ. And from then on, we need to continue to make right choices. See, it's not too hard for us, or God wouldn't have asked us to do it. So listen, don't accept the victim mindset that's so popular today. In Jesus Christ, you're not a helpless victim. Take responsibility for what you're doing, and with the help of Christ, make right choices as you go through life. Well, that's Monday's entry in the Campus Journal. And remember, if you or someone you know would like a free copy of our monthly CJ booklet, just call toll-free 1-800-653-7221 and request one. We'll send it free of charge. I'm Brian Hedding. Thanks for listening today, and I'll see you tomorrow. Hi, this is Tuesday's entry in the Campus Journal, and I guess every group has at least one of these. And I'm sure you know the type. The one that won't spend a dime unless they have to. If they can get you to buy, they will. And if they do have to part with some of their hoarded cash, well, they whine and complain about it because basically they're tightwads. And now there's a newsletter that's being published just for people like that. It's called the Tightwad Gazette. This is a monthly publication dedicated to, as they say, promoting thrift as an alternate lifestyle. It's filled with penny-pinching ideas such as using strips of newspaper for cat litter and vacuuming furnace filters so that you can reuse them. Now, it assures you that living by the Gazette philosophy can save you a lot of money. Now, listen to me. I'm not against being thrifty. I probably would buy used textbooks and be careful not to spend all my money on eating out if I were still in college. And I agree that a free spending policy leads to financial trouble. But my assurance for the future isn't based on my ability to hoard things or to save every penny I can. And I'm not about to let a tightwad mentality so consume me that I live in fear and guilt about every dollar I spend. Because my faith isn't in money. It's in God. And He's promised to meet all my needs. Not all my wants, but all my needs. It's a verse in the Old Testament book of Haggai that says that God owns the silver and gold in all the mines of the world. And the psalmist wrote in Psalm 24 that the whole earth is His and everything in it. So let me ask, are you worried about the future? Well, it's understandable, but just remember that God has promised to meet your needs, and He is no tightwad. That's good to know, isn't it? And that's Tuesday's entry in the Campus Journal. For a free copy of our monthly CJ booklet, call 1-800-653-7221. I'm Brian Hedding, and I'll see you tomorrow. Hi, this is Wednesday's entry in the Campus Journal, and how do you respond when life throws you a curve? Well, when Pat returned home after a ski trip during Christmas break, her dad broke the news to her that he had filed for divorce from her mother. Now, this was totally unexpected. Pat was a 20-year-old college student raised in what she thought to be a stable, loving Christian family. And unfortunately, the story doesn't have a happy ending, except within Pat's heart. Her parents battled fiercely during this divorce. They moved into separate, small apartments. They broke off all communication. So what happened to Pat? Well, she said, seeing our family split up was really a huge loss, almost like a death. But it made me stronger, and it drew me closer to God. I learned that nothing is constant and secure except for God. He doesn't change. He's always there for us. Now, I'm sure that Pat is always going to bear the scars of her family breaking up. But she found that God is our most trustworthy source of belonging, security, and unfailing love in this life. You know, David's words in Psalm 27 echo a similar theme. Now, he'd suffered through some problems in his own life. Friends had betrayed him, enemies tried to kill him. And yet David felt safe and secure because he was trusting the Lord. David could even write, "Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me." That's Psalm 27:10. And those are words that a child caught between divorced parents can really identify with, aren't they? See, when the home comes apart, God is still there, and He's our Heavenly Father. And He's promised that He is never going to leave us. Well, I hope you found today's entry in the Campus Journal helpful. And if you or someone you know would like to receive our monthly CJ booklet, just call toll-free 1-800-653-7221. I'm Brian Hettinga, and I'll see you tomorrow. Hi, this is Thursday's entry in the Campus Journal. And, you know, anticipation is half the fun of things, isn't it? Maybe more than half. Not long ago, a boy and his dad planned a weekend excursion to a secluded lake to do some fishing. After a hard week of travel and sales conferences, the father came home Friday afternoon eager to get away with his little boy. After dinner, the two excitedly got the car ready and their gear for the early morning departure, and then they went to bed. Just minutes after Dad's head hit the pillow, he felt a little tug on his shoulder. "Dad, I'm so excited I can't get to sleep," whispered the boy. Well, a little irritated, Dad said, "All right, go back to bed, son. Morning will come soon enough." Well, the boy did go back to bed, but soon he returned with another little tug. "What is it this time?" grumbled Dad. "I thought I told you to go back to bed." "Well, Dad," the boy said, "I just wanted to say thanks for tomorrow." Now, that boy's attitude of expectation should also be ours, according to the Old Testament prophet Isaiah. See, he recorded the words of the Lord saying, "Forget the former things, don't dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing." A similar thought is then found in the New Testament. There Paul spoke about forgetting what's behind and straining toward what's ahead, which means that we live in expectation of the good things that are ahead of us as we walk with Christ. Because, you know, there are times when this life seems like it's just one final exam after another. But believe me, you do have exciting things to look forward to. Why not thank God now for what He wants to do with you and for you today and for the rest of your life, both now and in heaven? Well, that's Thursday's entry in the Campus Journal. And if you'd like a free copy of our monthly CJ booklet, just call 1-800-653-7221. 1-800-653-7221. I'm Brian Hettinga, and I'll see you tomorrow. Hi, this is Friday's entry in the Campus Journal, and from what I understand, playing NCAA Division I athletics is never a walk in the park. And when you play for a perennial power, it can be downright tough. There's the constant pressure to win. There's the conflict between school and sports. There's the excessive attention you get from the fans and the media. And then when you throw an injury into all this, I bet it can become one maniacal mix. That's what happened to Jenny Evans, who has just completed her outstanding athletic career at UCLA, starring as an outside hitter for the women's volleyball team. Now, she was forced to sit out the entire 1991 season a couple of years ago with the painful right shoulder injury. And during that time, some of their opponents accused her of wimping out. They implied that her year off was unnecessary, that she had left her team when her abilities were sorely needed. You see, a year before, she had been a Volleyball Monthly All-American and a member of the All-NCAA tournament team. But Jenny persevered through this injury, and she came back to help UCLA have another banner season this year. And she says, "You know, a lot of my drive came from knowing that God was allowing this trial to take place and that I needed to please Him by being strong." You see, she was prepared for the tough stuff in life because she knew that God would use it for her good. And I think Jenny's life illustrates what Romans 5 says in the Bible, that suffering produces perseverance, that perseverance, character, and character, hope. So let me ask you a question. Are you living like that? Well, with that question, we wrap up another week of entries in the Campus Journal. And if you'd like a free copy of our printed CJ booklet, or you know of someone who would, call toll-free 1-800-653-7221. I'm Brian Hettinger. Thanks for listening. Have a good weekend, and I'll see you on Monday.